Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey everyone, PA here, Pastor Adam Bird, and I'm so grateful that you decided to tune in to our Every Nation channel. And I got news for you, that God has got a word for you today. God has got a word for you. And so we're just in a series we've just called Uncommon. And God, if you know Jesus Christ today, you are called to live an uncommon life. And so let me begin our day with this. So let me just take you way back in time. My first junior hockey coach, his name was Bert Templeton, amazing coach with a horrible mouth. I can't say that strong enough. He was the William Shakespeare of curse words, okay? He could string stuff together and you're like, how did he even think to put those two curse words together, right? And in fact, not a word of a lie, no mom, you're watching this, is that my mom went to a game and sat behind our bench and she could hear our coach for an entire hockey game. And she came back and it's like her face was pale after the game. And she's like, I've never in my life heard someone swear so much. And so you get the picture of who my coach was. So then you'll imagine how shocked I was. We're having a practice one day. Coach stops practice, pulls me aside away from the other players. And he looks at me in my face and he says to me, Adam, do you know what? You swear a lot. I was like, shut the front door, you know? I mean, this guy is telling me that I swear a lot, all right? I'm not proud of this moment. I had a horrible mouth, but I'm like, you're telling me? Well, come to find out. See, for him, it was confusing for him because I said I loved Jesus and I was a Christian, yet I didn't sound any different than any of my other teammates. Like, I still had a very common mouth and not an uncommon mouth. And so it was off-putting to him. He didn't understand. It was confusing. And come to find out, years later, he would become a Christian. See, what I didn't realize is he was watching my life. Am I common or is there something uncommon about my faith in Jesus Christ? And so I want to move this point, just another point forward is, so this past week, my brother-in-law, he sent me a podcast from TSN. It's Canada's ESPN. Okay. And there was a podcast and one of my old teammates, is actually on the podcast. His name is Jeff O'Neill. They call him the O-Dog. And so I want to show you this brief snippet to just highlight, what it looks like to have an uncommon mouth. All right, let's roll the tape.
TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4, Brian Hazio, Dog Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. We have ourselves a sports equinox. Man, People love buzzing about the old sports equinox, don't they?
You know what I say about the sports equinox? All glory be to God.
You're a fan? You're going to be watching all four sports tonight. That's your plan.
No, but the only thing I have to say about positive stuff is all glory be to God.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That guy, what was wrong with that?
That was insane. Like, I played with the Bistard in Hartford. Adam Burt never swore, called people friggin' Bistards. He would never talk like that in an interview, the Bistard.
Right.
I don't know what Jameis Winston, why he had to do that.
All right, man. So listen, let me just set the record straight. I'm not trying to make myself the hero. Oh, you know, he doesn't swear. Aren't you a holy guy? That's not my point at all. My point was this, is do you know that I haven't seen Jeff O'Neill in like 25 years? And yet, isn't it fascinating that just that stuck in him, that he never could forget that I was a guy, man, I just wouldn't swear, you know? And so it shook him and it stuck with him, all right? And my point is, it's not difficult to live an uncommon life, and God's called you to live uncommon. And so today we're going to talk about having an uncommon tongue. An uncommon tongue. And for the record, please, I'm going to be very frustrated if you take away from this message today, hey, just don't swear. Man, I'm going to be so disappointed and frustrated. Hey, for the record, don't swear. Clean up your mouth. But the bigger idea is this. Man, I want to highlight the fact that your words are powerful. Like there's something powerful about the spoken word, and I want to show you that today. And so probably a couple weeks back, we were talking about just kind of the ideas. God has these invisible laws that he's woven into the universe, into the creation. It's the way God designed things to work. They're invisible, but undeniable. And we are highlighting gravity. Like, listen, you can't see gravity, but listen, if you don't align with it and you try to fight against it, you're going to lose every time. All right. There's other invisible laws. Like, how crazy is it that, man, when water hits 212 degrees, it's going to boil every time. It's an invisible law. We talked about, too, the idea of the law of sowing and reaping. Like when you take a seed, put it in the soil, you don't even know how, but somehow, some way, man, it grows. It's an invisible law. It's invisible, but undeniable. We talked about, too, the law of generosity. That, you know, that the Harvard School of Business, like, so not a faith preacher, not even a church guy, the Harvard School of Business, the research said this, that whenever you give to charity, to a nonprofit, to give to help people, whenever you do that, you make a 300% profit. They said they don't know how it works, but for somehow, some way, all the data points to that you give a dollar, you're going to get $3 back in the corresponding year, right? And so, man, that is the law of generosity that God has woven into the fabric of the universe. It's invisible and undeniable. And I want to tell you this. There's another invisible law, and it's this. Man, God has made the words of your mouth something powerful. It can be powerful for good or powerful for evil. How are you using your mouth? All right. And so let me take us all the way back to the creation narrative. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning. And do you remember? Like everything began with what? A word. God said, let there be light, and boom, man, light has been streaking out to the edges of the cosmos at 186,000 miles per second. It's still going, pushing out into the universe. That at one spoken word from God, what happened? Time and space, it began, right? And so there's something powerful right from the beginning about words, particularly the word of God. In fact, if we go on with the creation narrative, if you pay attention, it says that the world was formless and void. And so in days 1 through 3, God's going to form stuff. And then in days 4 through 6, he's going to fill it. He's going to form it and fill it. And so in days 1 through 3, he forms the oceans, the dry land, the skies. And then days 4 through 6, he fills it. And what does he fill it with? He fills it with beauty, with life, with love. And do you know, and then day 6, God doesn't just speak us into existence, but what does he do? He forms us, and then he fills us with his very self, the breath of life. But now, as image bearers of God, there's something powerful about our words when we speak. And God sends us out into the world, and we're to what? We're to form and fill. And one of the ways we do it is by the words of our mouth. Like, get this, man, we form families by saying, or excuse me, we form marriages by saying, I do. Man, we form families by this, it's a boy or it's a girl. We form nations by what? Man, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. What, there's something about our words, it forms stuff, and then we've been commissioned by God to fill it with love, with beauty, with life. And so my question for you today, what are you filling your world with by your words? What are you filling your world with by your words? I've shared this story a billion times. Let's make it 1,000,000,001. But man, I was riding on the New York City subway system, and my firstborn daughter was with me, and man, she was like snuggling to me, hanging onto my arm, and I thought, man, we're having a daddy-daughter moment. And then she later informed me that she didn't want to touch the gross subway bars. So, but listen, as a parent, I'll take it however I can get it. And so, if you've ever ridden the subway, you know everyone's just got their head down, trying not to make eye contact with somebody else. A group of 3 men entered into the subway car at a stop, and they said these words, "Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen." So if you know anything about riding the subway, that means they're about to ask you for money. And so New Yorkers have been trained, put your head down, don't make eye contact, right? And so they said, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We don't want anything from you, but we want to bless you with a song about our Savior, Jesus Christ. Man, and they started singing a song, and the atmosphere of that subway car changed in an instant. In fact, people started clapping and singing along. We were looking at one another's face, celebrating one another. And then the car stopped. Those men said, God bless you. And they left. Boom, the doors closed, and everyone went right back to ignoring one another or whatever. What happened? Those men decided we are going to change the spiritual atmosphere by the power of our words. And they did it. They did it. And so what are you creating in your world? What atmosphere are you creating? And so Jesus is going to say this. He's going to say, it's not what goes into a man that makes him unclean. In other words, eating unclean foods or eating without your hands washed. He says, it's what comes out of a man, out of your mouth, that makes you unclean. And so what is coming out of your mouth? It's gonna reveal something about your heart. And I would submit this to you. Have you heard the old saying, you are what you eat? I would disagree, and the Bible would disagree with you. You are what you speak, right? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus is going to say it in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Jesus says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. And I just don't think you can deny it. Here'll be Exhibit A. So we had a number of pastors got together for a pastors conference in Lancaster, PA, and it was in the deep of the winter months, and so we had to get back to New York City, and so as we were going to drive back, but the weather conditions were treacherous. We had the entire church praying for us, and we had two caravans of two Suburbans carrying all these pastors, and the Suburban in front of me started spinning out of control as it was entering the expressway. And so we would later find out what took place as this Suburban is spinning around out of control on the icy freeway. Inside, the one pastor screams out, Jesus! Another does, God help us! And then another pastor screams out, Holy Spirit! Except she didn't say Spirit. She used another word. And as you can get with me, as the car slowly comes to a stop and everyone's safe and okay, then we started to look around the car and evaluate, okay, Jesus help us, God help us, and excuse me, what did you say? In that moment, see, what, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth spoke. And I promise you, when life presses you and squeezes you, what's really inside of your heart is what's going to come out of your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so I know this for sure. Like, there's moments in my life when my mouth will get lazy. Okay, maybe I'll use a curse word, or maybe I'll just be cynical and negative, say like disparaging things about someone. And when that starts taking place, man, that's the warning signal for me. Uh-oh, my heart is low. And here's what I know. I need to dial up prayer, worship, and the word, and dial down what TV, social media, man, just pay attention to what kind of music I'm listening to, right? Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so hear me today. I'm not saying don't just bite your tongue, man, fill your heart. Fill your heart, because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak, and our words are unbelievably powerful. And so we're going to look to the Lord's brother. His name is James, and he wrote the book of James, and he's going to give us some wisdom as to the power of our words. So James chapter 3, we'll read verses 1 and 2. It says this, James says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with a greater strictness, for we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. And so, man, I was like reading this week, I'm like, oh great, that teachers, the people that pick up the Bible and teach other people like me, uh-oh, it says we're going to have a stricter judgment. I'm so, oh great, I got that to look forward to. But get this, you don't get off the hook either. In fact, Jesus would say this in Matthew 12, verse 36. He says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Man, Jesus is taking inventory. Have you ever got a butt dial before? Like, listen, my name's early in the alphabet, so I get a lot of butt dials, man. And if you butt dial me, here's what I want you to know. I'm going to listen to the whole thing. Because, man, then as a pastor, I get to see how people really talk when they don't think you're listening, right? And I got news for you. God is always listening. And he says, we are going to give an account for every careless, thoughtless, hurtful word we speak, all right? And so here's the big idea, what we just read in James 1 and 2. Control your tongue, control your life. Control your tongue, control your life. James 3, verses 3 through 4, it says this. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. And so we can see like the power of your words. I promise you, your words will determine your world. It's because your tongue, he says it's like a bit. It steers your life, or it's like a rudder of a ship. It's going to steer your life where you're going. And so you need to take inventory of this today. How are you speaking to yourself? Like, what's your self-talk like? Like, do you know that research is kind of, they've determined we speak roughly like 400 to 900 words to ourself every minute. Isn't that insane, you know? And so you are constantly talking to yourself, right? And so, by the way, listen to me and quit listening to yourself, all right? I'm talking, all right? But we're constantly talking to ourselves. And have you ever taken inventory? How do you speak to yourself? Man, are you cruel, unkind? Are you unmerciful, ungracious? Are you condemning, right? That doesn't sound like God to me. That sounds a lot like demonic, satanic talk. And so it's ungodly to speak to yourself in that manner. And I got news for you, man. I'm not proud of this. I consider this kind of a weakness that I've had to work on in my life. There's nobody harder on me than me. In fact, my self-talk is I've had to train myself because it was horrific. I would never speak to another human being like I speak to myself, all right? And I got news for you. It's sinful. Because here's what inevitably happens. If you speak like that to yourself, you're condemning, unforgiving, unkind. Do you know what happens? It fills you with a sense of self-hate, and that stuff's going to spill out onto other people. It just is. So you need to speak kindly to yourself. Our words are unbelievably powerful. And so, do you know that even the Navy SEALs, they have what's called Hell Week, all right? They continuously train for 130 hours straight, all right? No sleep, and they keep them wet and cold and exhausted. Hell Week, by design, is designed to break you down, all right? To make you just give up and throw in the towel. And do you know what they tell all their cadets to do? They give them some training tips. And they said, if you want to survive Hell Week, you have to have a positive self-talk. They train them to speak positively to yourself. You're going to make it. You got this one. You can go one more minute. You can go one more second, right? You speak positively and you encourage yourself. And listen, I think the Navy SEALs ripped this off from King David, right? 1 Samuel 30. David and his men, the village they were staying at in Ziklag, it was robbed, and these marauders stole their family, their money, everything. Man, David's world was on fire, and in fact, his mighty men spoke about stoning him. But what does David do as he's going through his hell? It says this, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Did you get that? Like David, he spoke well of him. He was speaking the word of God over his life. And so this is for free today. Some of you need to stop listening to yourself, the 400 to 900 words, and you just need to start speaking to yourself. Speaking over your life, the encouraging word of God. Notice what David does here in Psalm 42, verse 11. He's speaking to his soul. He says, why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Did you hear David? Man, he's speaking positively, the positive word of God over his life. Man, and David overcame, all right? And you're going to too, as you speak words of life over yourself. You know, that psychologists, they estimate that 85% of our thoughts are negative. Like that's staggering. 85% of your thoughts are negative. In fact, we have what's called the negativity bias. We're drawn to negative thoughts, and we pay more attention to them. That's why, man, it's always negative social media and news that we see. Because why? It gets more clicks. It gets more eyes on things. We have a negativity bias. We're just garbage collectors, man. I don't know why, but we just are. And so, and I think you would agree with me. Negative words, they're heavier than positive words. They just are. Like, have you ever experienced this? I know as a pastor, I was supposed to do the Instagram thing. And so I was trying to do Instagram, man. I'm not a techie guy and trying to be kind of that cool. Listen, I get it, pastor. And I would do my Instagram. And then there's always sweet people that would see like a little sermon clip or something. And man, there would be all these kind words. Like there would be a little a fire. You're on fire, pastor. Way to go. Great job. And inevitably, there would be someone on there. Hey, dum-dum, slow down. You sound stupid and you're talking too fast. So there's 10 to 15 positive comments, and one dude gives it to me, and guess what? Man, I couldn't get rid of that stuff, man. I'm carrying this thing all around all day. It just haunted me, right? Because negative words, for whatever reason, they're heavier. In fact, they estimate that you need 5 positive words, man, to cancel out 1 negative word, right? Just to get to even. And so negative words are powerful. And so, man, we need to speak the word of God over our life. And I decided after that Instagram fiasco, I'm like, I am not going to let people be the rudder in my life. I'm not going to let people be the bit and steer my life. Heck no, man. I'm taking control of my life and my mouth because, man, your words will determine your world. And so, in fact, you know that Jesus, he confessed the word of God, or I guess the word of himself, over himself. You know, in John's gospel, Jesus has 7 I am statements. And here's what's so great, is he just confesses and he speaks out, I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I love it. He's declaring who he is, speaking life, purpose, and identity over himself. And listen, you can do the same thing. You can do the same thing. I mean, the world was trying to tell Jesus, man, you're a drunkard, a friend of sinners. You have the devil, right? All these different things that Jesus says. Nope. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He was confessing the word of God over his life. And I want to challenge you, man, to speak the word of God over your life. Like, what are your 7 I am statements? And so when you confess God's word over your life, get this, you're not trying to bend God's arm so he'll do what you want. What you're actually doing is you're aligning your will with his already spoken will, his word. And it's powerful. Like, man, I did this, and I just decided I'm going to take the first 3 minutes of my morning, and I'm going to confess. I have my I am statements. And so there are areas of my life where I felt vulnerable and weak. Like, for example, man, I didn't feel like I had, like, a lot of wisdom on my life. And so, man, for years, I would get up and confess, I am wise. All the wisdom of God dwells inside of me because of the Holy Spirit. Man, I struggled with prayer, and I just started confessing every morning, I am a man of prayer. My prayers avail much with God. Man, sometimes as a pastor, man, I would struggle with faith to believe God, and I would just confess, I am a man of faith. I have everything I need to do all God's called me to do. And I got news for you. 3 minutes every morning, just confessing my I am statements, I just can't overstate this. It took me further and faster than anything I've ever done in my spiritual life. And it was so easy. It was 3 minutes in the morning, and it was unbelievably powerful. What are your I am statements? James chapter 3, verses 5-6, says this, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among the members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. And so here's what we know. James is like, man, your tongue, it's a fire. And here's what I know about fire. Fire can warm your home or it can burn your home down, depending how you use it. And the tongue is the same way. In fact, Proverbs would say this, that death and life are in the power of your tongue. Like, that's how powerful this is, man. Our words are powerful. And you can either lift somebody up, or you can do irreparable damage to someone's life, all by a word. That's how powerful your words are. What are you doing with your words? Like Jesus, do you know what with Jesus' words? With the same word, he cursed a fig tree, and he also healed the centurion's servant, right? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. How are you using your tongue? There's a guy, if you don't believe this, you're not welcome in my church, okay? Just joking, but not really. Man, Muhammad Ali is the greatest boxer of all time. But here's what's amazing. He didn't get there by himself. Do you know he had a corner man, and his corner man was much more than a corner man. His name was Bundini Brown, and Bundini Brown was a life speaker. In fact, he had such an impact on Ali's life that George Foreman said of Bundini Brown, he says, he's the source of Ali's spirit. Like, there was just something supernatural, and there was, because Bundini Brown was a life speaker, and he spoke life over and into Muhammad Ali. I mean, he would say crazy, man, you float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Champ, you're the greatest. Champ, you're the prettiest. And here's what I want you to know. Man, words don't have to be true necessarily. They just have to be believed. And Ali, he believed those words. And guess what? He did become the greatest. In fact, Bundini Brown, at his funeral, Ali sent funerals with this extravagant arrangement of flowers. And on it, the card said this: you made me the greatest. It's the power of our words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I don't know if you know this, but you know that there's a Bundini Brown in your Bible. In the book of Acts, we read about a man by the name of Joseph. You probably have heard him by his nickname. He was known as Barnabas. And Barnabas means the son of encouragement. He was such an encourager and a life speaker, man. They gave him the nickname. Man, you're a son of encouragement, man. And so he traveled with the Apostle Paul quite often. And here's what I think, man. He was the source of the Apostle Paul's spirit. Because Paul, if you don't know his life, man, he took a beating. And he was going to need a son of encouragement in his life. Let me read you some of the things that Paul had to walk through. Man, so if you ever think you're having a bad day, no. Paul says, I beat you. He says, far more greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys in danger from rivers and dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, dangers at sea, dangers from false brothers, oh my goodness, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Man, come on, Paul. Don't you think Paul, man, he needed a son of encouragement. Man, when Paul's shipwrecked, when he's in prison or beaten, he's like, Paul, you float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Man, I don't think he said that, but I do think he said this: Paul, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Paul, the greater one resides on the inside of you than he that lives in the world. Paul, God made you to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, right? Barnabas was a life speaker. Are you a life speaker? I want to speak specifically to dads. Like, dads, man, God has given you, man, the power of your words is unbelievable. Dads, you need to speak life over and into your children. I want to speak to wives as well. Man, wives, I don't know if you realize this, but man, the power of your words in your man's heart is unbelievable. Words in the mouth of a woman are powerful in the heart of a man. Women, my wives, speak life over and into your husbands. Let's go James chapter 3. I'll read verses 7 through 8. James goes on and says, "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison." And so, like, this is so true. Like, if you've ever heard of an apex predator. So apex predators, they hunt everything. Nothing hunts them. Okay. And so, for example, in the sea, man, killer whales, apex predator, they hunt everything. Nothing hunts them. But get this. We were able to tame those killer whales, weren't we? Man, the things weigh 8,000 pounds. And I remember being a kid, you go to SeaWorld, man, we can get them to do tricks, float on their back. They can give you a ride, do all these things. Another apex predator, the lion, right? Man, they eat everything. Nothing eats them. But what if we do? Man, we can train that lion. I've seen Siegfried and Freud. Remember them? Man, you can put your head in the lion's mouth and they get them doing all tricks like it's a domesticated kitty cat, right? But they said, we can tame all these other things, but the tongue, good luck with that. And I got news for you. And I think we need to be honest, man, to tame your tongue, to train it, it's slow and it's difficult, but it doesn't matter. You have been called to have an uncommon mouth, to speak with an uncommon tongue. And so, man, you are going to take the time as your heart is transformed by the Holy Spirit, man, and by faith and your will, man, you need to be a life speaker. Your words are powerful. Your words will determine your world. And then we'll close out with this, James chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. James ends it. He says this. He says, "So with it," or with your mouth, "we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not so to be. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." So here's like James's big idea is like if you have a mixed mouth, it's confusing. And it breaks my heart. And the heart of God is many of us, we're just content to have a mixed mouth. Do you know what I mean? It's like, so we have a mouth that's, you know, speaks a little bit of Jesus. And we also speak a little bit of cursing as we get behind the wheel of our car. We have a mouth that speaks a little bit of faith. And then we got another mouth that speaks a lot of cynicism, a lot of critical words, right? And so we got this mixed bag in our mouth. And James is like, how can this be? How can this be? And so I'll end this way. My brother-in-law, the one I mentioned up in Canada, he invited me up on a fishing trip, like way up in northern Canada, like way up. All right. And I'm not really a big outdoorsy guy, but I'm like, yeah, I'll do this. And I got to admit, it was pretty cool, man. Like we went up there and, I mean, we camped in like straight up tents. We grew man beards. Man, we drank a beer. You got to pee outside. It was incredibly exciting. And so all that was going down. We did like real man stuff. And it was awesome. If you've ever sat around a campfire, isn't it crazy? There's something about being around a campfire that for whatever reason, man, the food just tastes better. And I remember in the mornings, man, I'd get up and just that cup of coffee, it just around the fire, it just tasted like 10 times better than it does back in my home until I realized where they got the water for the coffee. You see, there was a section in the lake where all the guys would go and pee, okay? And it was that section where they would go scoop up the water in the lake in the pee part of it and use it, and they would cook it for your coffee. And like when I found out that, I'm like, boo, I ain't doing that, man. We got an entire lake and that's where you got to go do it? No way, man. I'm not having any part of that. And I say that, man, I'm sure the idea was, oh, I'm sure it's mostly clean water. I'm not into mostly clean water, okay? I want pure. I think the biblical word is holy water, without spot, without blemish. And you know what? That's what Jesus wants. He wants a holy people, people that have a holy mouth as well, because you've been called to live uncommon. Let's pray. Lord, just thank you for this time that we can spend together. And oh God, thank you, Lord, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And oh God, I pray that you would raise up a generation of life speakers. Lord, in a world that's cynical and pessimistic, God, may we speak life, light, and hope. I thank you and believe you, Lord, that you're going to give us your tongue. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.